Drunk on Comics, episode 78.
Who the fuck put a question mark at the end of the teleprompter? You guys know Tony will read whatever's up there.
Wait, Tony can read? I thought he did comics because he liked to look at the pictures.
Well, I read the pictures.
I read the art.
Yeah,
read the art. Oh, God. Well, hey, welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode 78.
It is.
Period.
Okay. Exclamation point. 78!
Yeah, there you go.
Little funny upside down question mark thing that I still have no idea why it's what it does in the Spanish.
Is it? I'm not sure if it's a question.
It's at, like, the front of sentences or something, isn't it?
Ask Guillermo.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, regular listeners are probably going, wait a minute, there's a chick talking. And new listeners, they're like, who the fuck are all these assholes?
Yeah.
But I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
I'm Matt.
And Jim finally got his sex change.
This is?
Jim, the therapist.
No.
No.
We can't take credit for that.
Oh, Kristen. Yeah,
no, this is Kristen.
Give him your secret identity. They won't tell anyone, I promise.
This is my cousin who knows nothing about comic books.
Nothing. Popped my cherry last night.
Yeah. Yeah. On comics.
On comics.
Yeah.
Because you are cousins, right? Does it make that clear?
Well, whole new kissing cousins.
Well, you know.
Definition.
You know, our family is from Ohio, so.
All right.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but.
Well, we are your weekly podcast to talk about comic books, nerdly things, and other sorts of stuff that, you know, happens on the internet that's related to heroes or books with pictures and words.
Or sometimes just nerdy sci-fi shit, too. Or occasionally, like, Roadhouse last week.
Yeah, that was just random, but.
Yeah, well. That's what happens when you get around to drink. But all right, should we get it kicked off here with Off the Shelf?
Yes, sir. But before we do, we should remind all of our listeners that this is a spoiler zone. We will be spoiling these books. In fact, I think all of us are actually covering the last issue of a story arc. So if you never picked up that story, you could go do that now, or you could listen to how it ends here.
Yeah.
If you're one of those people that there's, I know people that like to read the end of the novel first and then go back and read it.
Why would they do that?
Well, Kristen's nodding her head, but Kristen, you have to remember, people can't see you.
Oh, as I'm pointing and nodding.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I used to do that. I actually used to do that.
Why?
I don't know. And I stopped. I don't know. Maybe I was afraid.
I think.
Afraid of how I would feel at the end. So I just wanted to set the precedence.
Make sure
I'm going to be super sad at the end of it.
My favorite thing to do is to read the end of books that other people are reading and then tell them I know how it ends, because that really pisses them off.
See, what's funny is when I meet girls, I just walk up and I go, we're done. I'm breaking up with you.
Right.
Actually, it's more like I walk up and I go, will you just say you're dumping me? Because that's really how my relationships end.
I did that. I jumped to the end of the Bible. Jesus dies at the end.
Actually.
That's actually not at the end.
Actually, the end, he comes back. But that's okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
All right. Hey, Derek, why don't you kick us off here? Speaking of apocalypses.
I will. And by the way, Off the Shelf is once again brought to you by inter-comics.com, a local retailer in the UK, but they ship worldwide. Go check them out for all of your comic book needs. This week, I cried a little bit because Fanboys vs. Zombies, which you guys know has been one of my favorite books for all 20 issues, this being 20, has been one of my favorite books out there. And little credit here first, written by Shane Houghton, art by Jerry Gaylord, ink assist by Penelope Gaylord and Brian Turner, colors by Andrea Dada and Mirka Andolfo, letters by Ed Dukeshire, and also another little heads up, because it was Sam Humphries who originally started this series as the writer on there. This is, well, let me back up a little bit.
I was going to say, stop your review. Let's talk about a quick story at the comic book shop the other day.
Okay, well, there's actually two comic book shop stories. One before I ran into you. I was a little bit pissed. I was bitching. I'm like, this is bullshit, because this is the last of a four-part story arc, which was the four stories of the apocalypse. And where it was individual one-shot stories, side characters, you know, kind of a before and or after of where they'd been before we saw them in the story. Well, this is the last one, and I find out, wait a minute, this is the series finale. I'm like, that's bullshit. They've got a lot more story to talk about. I'm pissed. I'm like they're going to leave me hanging. Fuck this.
Then I come in the comic book shop, and Derek's just, like, steam coming out of his ears like a cartoon. Like,
yeah. Well, and Jerry Gaylord, who we got to be, you know, got to spend some time with, and you know, I would like to say that we are friends after Motor City. He buries a ton of Easter eggs in all of his comic books, like tons of them, and they're fun as hell to search for. It's kind of a Where's Waldo on top of a great comic. And I had jokingly said to him, I'm like, hey, Jerry, when we can see a little Drunk on Comics Easter egg in there? And he's like, ha, 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 just keep reading, you know? And I'm like, well, that's I'm going to keep reading anyway, but if I was questioning, now I definitely will. So I quickly flip through because it's the last issue, and I don't see a Drunk on Comics logo in there. And I run into Tony, and I'm like, man, I'm going to have to give Jerry a little shit because, you know, it's the last one. I was really hoping that we'd see Drunk on Comics in the back.
Yeah, like I said, already you being upset. And you weren't upset about this. There's nothing you could do about it.
No.
But you're just kind of a little disappointed. Like, it's the last one. I'm already sad.
Yeah.
I want to see us in there. That would be cool.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, just draw a little Drunk on Comics logo in there someplace on a book or something. Who cares? You know? So lunch rolls around, and I take my little lunch break, and I'm like, I'm going to read my books. And so this is the first book I grab, which is normal whenever this book comes out. And it's in an alternate dimension, and it's actually back at San Diego Comic-Con. And there are cosplayers dressed up like the Wrecking Crew, the main characters in this story. And then you see Jerry Gaylord and Shane Houghton walking through there, you know, going, oh, yeah, we got to get to our table, blah, blah, blah. And so I flip the page, and I'm like, oh, look, they drew a Zangief cosplayer in the background. That's kind of cool. And then I look over, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's me. First panel on the second page, and then I'm like, wait, that's me. And then I look, I go, wait, that's Matt. Wait, that's Kevin. Wait, that's Tony.
Yay!
So, coolest fucking thing ever, and I feel shitty for bitching.
Well, not only that, you call me up to tell me this, and I'm just thinking bullshit, like, you already went through it. You told me that we weren't drawn in. What the fuck are you talking about? Then you text me the picture. I'm like, holy shit!
That's a very happy thanks Hanukkah
gift. Yes, yeah, that was about the best Thanksgiving gift outside of, you know, friends, family, and health that you could ever ask for.
I was actually at the grocery store when you texted me, and I go, hey, hon, we got drawn into the comic book now. My wife's like, oh, great, I'm not going to hear the end of this, am I?
So, yeah, so first and foremost, huge thank you to Jerry for doing that, because we didn't know it was going to happen, and that made my day for sure.
Stegman, you're next.
So, okay, back to the book. The premise of this story is basically Shane and Jerry talking about what's going to happen in here. And it was a very, very clever way for them to be able to wrap up how the story ends. You know, are they bringing Kyle and Missy back? Are they dead? Are they not? You know, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen here? And it's kind of a neat thing because they're sitting there talking about it, and so they're drawing little excerpts of what may or may not happen, and it's great. They're like, oh, and then Amanda's going to kill some zombies because we haven't had enough violence yet, you know? and just lots of fun shit. But the really cool thing beyond that, not only are Jerry and Shane in here, but Penny's in here, Brian's in here, Mirka, Andrea, and Ed are all in here, along with both Eric Harburn and Bryce Carlson, the editors of this, and they're goofy as shit, which is great. and there's even a little cameo from Sam Humphries, the original writer of this, where he's just running through, and it's Sam Humphries' afro model, because he has massive hair, if you've never seen him in person. But it's a really, really nice way of them doing it, and of course, life imitates art, imitates life, imitates art, endless circle. The zombie apocalypse breaks out here at San Diego Comic-Con, and ultimately all of our heroes, which in this case really are the heroes, the creators of the book, yeah, they're going to die at the end. But the cool part about it is that it does give you that little sense of wrap-up around what actually goes on with the story. And I'm actually not going to spoil that part of it, you know, because it's speculation and it's like, hey, we could have done all this really cool stuff with it. But I just have to give just a huge two mugs up to these guys, because this has been one of the smartest, most amazingly fun books that I've ever read. I'm really sad that it's coming to an end. And if you haven't read it, just go buy the trades.
Well, not only that, like, zombies are so overplayed, and I get sick of hearing zombies in a title or anything, except for this book. Because it's funny. It's a lot more fun. It's not the zombies. It's the story of the people.
Exactly. Well, and all the characters, you know, in the Wrecking Crew, it's like it's such a fucking beautiful premise. That because as nerds, we all go, oh, yeah, the zombie apocalypse happened. I got my zombie plan. I mean, we talk to people about it all the time when we're interviewing them. You know, so we're all like going, yeah, we know what to do. Well, here is actually the comic that says, would the fanboys really survive?
Yeah.
But they do it in a funny way. It's humorous. And there's so many things in there for every kind of fanboy that there's something for everyone to love in this book. The characters are great. I mean, you can find, you'll go, oh, I'm that guy. Oh, Matt's that guy. Oh, Tony's that guy. Oh, Kristen's that guy. Because, well, yeah. But, yeah, so is this a good jumping on point? No. However,
I would love for the last issue to be a great jumping on point or something.
But what I would say, and actually, you could actually read this one first and go back and start. But I would recommend just go buy all the trades. And
Christmas is coming. Be nice, and Santa might bring them.
Yeah, because I know that the first three trades are out, and so I'm guessing there will be one or two more after that, depending on how they bundle them up. But yeah, just go buy it, and you know, then start banging on Houghton and Gaylord's door and everybody at Boom Studios to bring the series back, because they might actually at some point. You know, I mean, there's enough story room left in there, but then again, it is a nice clean ending where they don't have to.
Yeah.
So, thanks again, guys, for everybody at Boom for making this book. It's been one of my favorites, and I'm going to go cry in my beer now.
Tony, what do you got?
I got another ending to a fantastic five-part story, Superior Carnage number 5. Now, the reason why I picked this one was ultimately the story's been great, but the way they set up the narration of this specific book here. It's written by Kevin Schnick, which
Schnick.
I don't know why he's not writing Wolverine, but he should be. Pencils by
How's it spelled?
Schinick.
Yeah, it's not
Schnick.
Yeah,
Schnick.
Yeah, I'd change it to Schnick like yeah. immediately.
Pencilers were Steven Segova with Dan Mexia. Inkers, Dennis Chrysostomo, Don Ho, and Dan Mexia. Colorists, J. David Ramos and Rex Locus. Seems like they needed a lot of people on this, but...
Tony, did you say Don Ho?
I know. I'm like, as in the Don Ho row?
Yes.
As in like the Don Ho, the ukulele playing singer?
Yeah, I'm sure that's not the same person. Oh, but.
I don't even know if Don Ho is still alive, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that one is.
We will Google that later.
Okay, sorry.
getting back to what I was saying, the art, the colors, everything in here is amazing, so that's why they had so many people working on this title. What I've loved about the Carnage books is they seem to have a story, a five-part story arc coming out every year, spanning, you know, the 5 months that it comes out, and then Carnage is gone. They capture him, they do whatever. Which is a great way to tell stories that you can't have an ongoing series for. Don't try to force it. Have some little one-shots. Have some little story arcs. Trial of Punisher is one, you know. Pretty much anything, really. If it's not going to sell, still tell those stories. But don't try to make it your mainstream book, because then it's going to fail. And then you're not going to finish the story. What you need to do is make sure you have a beginning, middle, and end. And people will love it for it. That's why I've enjoyed these Carnage books so much, is because I don't need to, you know, be ongoing series when it comes out. Sure, I'm going to pick it up. I know that in the end of this, it already said what the next thing is going to be coming out next April.
But it's not coming out until like April, yeah. So
I don't need to keep continue reading it to know what's going on. But Carnage, for anyone that doesn't know, is probably the most chaotic and biggest killer in the New York Marvel Universe-ish bad guys. I mean, that's not...
Kills more than Punisher?
Yeah, fuck yeah. I mean, Carnage just...
Punisher, like, wipes out, like, you know, just dozens of people at a time.
Yeah. Punisher probably kills more people, but they're mostly bad people.
Where Carnage just kills indiscriminately?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't earn that name easily, right? I mean, it's not like you wake up one day and be like, well, I'm going to call myself Carnage.
Today I'm going to call myself the Beater.
Right. Like, see here, I slaughtered 40 people this month. I think I've earned it.
Well, it's like God Hates Astronauts. I'm the anti-mugger.
What's been going on in this is the wizard wants to impress his son and take over City Hall to have his son see him succeed as a villain. He then decides he's going to make his own, it wasn't Sinister Six, Frightful Four.
Yeah.
And he had Claw, who is pretty much a being made of...
sound.
Yeah, sound.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the weird sound hand and everything, and which is great to have on your team when you're dealing with a symbiote that's the only weakness for it, which is sound. Made it...
Fire is also a weakness. That's just a fact check.
Fire bad.
What we've had going up through this is they pretty much took the symbiote off of Cletus Cassidy, who's been the longtime Carnage host for forever. And it jumped around to this guy named, Malice. That then jumped from them to him to Wizard. And ultimately in this whole story, in the last one, number four, Claw got destroyed. Carnage just destroyed him, and he turned into sound. He went back to the sound wall.
So is he dead?
Kind of. And it even explains that. He's dead, but he's not dead. Because he's sound, he's now part of everything. Sound makes up the fabric as far as vibrations go and everything. That's all that sound is.
He's comic book dead for now. Because I'm sure someday they could recollect his sound and make him come back.
Yeah.
But for all intents and purposes, he even said, I'm losing my consciousness. And that's what I loved
starting this whole book. It just talks about what sound is, how back in the day people... worshipped sound and thunder. Shakespeare used sound and thunder to really get his point across in his stories. Like
foreshadowing, harbinger of doom, boom.
And pretty much Claw says he's gone. He's gone, but he's now one with the universe. He now is everything, and he just has to sit here and watch. He owed the wizard. He wanted to help the wizard, and now he can't do anything about it because Carnage killed him. So the narration in this... probably some of the best writing I've ever seen. From his perspective, who's a person that I didn't really ever care about or know about, but to get that kind of glimpse of this is going on. And with that, he kind of gets a little more omnipotence because he's one with the universe, and he starts talking a little bit more about what Carnage was. How Carnage was a symbiote left by his parents.
Parent Venom.
Yeah, how he's always neglected, how he's jumped from host to host. And so the hosts are leaving him. So Carnage is an abused child that all he wants is family. And you're kind of like, holy fuck, I guess I never really felt sympathy for the symbiote.
So Carnage is Batman?
Yeah. Ultimately, though, towards the end of this, Claw changes his mind and says, no, actually, Carnage is the asshole, and he's the one that just, is abandoning everyone else. He just finds the most dominant person that he can... control the most, and who he's got the most,
control?
Symbiosis with.
Yeah. Symbiosis.
Which was always Cletus Cassidy.
Superior Spider-Man is getting his ass kicked by Carnage, and I love Spider-Ock is using all of his wits to help destroy him, but then he brings in one better, and he brings Cletus, because he realizes, now that Carnage is on the wizard, Carnage might want to go back to his original host. And that's when things change. That's when Spider-Man, starts realizing, okay, this is how we can contain him. Spider-Man wins the day. One of the things I forgot to say is the wizard is dying of brain cancer, I believe.
Yeah.
He's going to die, and that's kind of why he wanted to do this big hurrah. Conclusion of this is the Carnage symbiote is locked up. Spider-Man's got him. Somehow the wizard got cured from the symbiote. If one of the things in the last story arc, when I talked about Minimum Carnage a year ago, Cletus Cassidy got lobotomized by Scarlet Spider-Man, so he's brain dead as well. The symbiote, I guess, helped rework their brains.
Yeah, the symbiotes were always supposed to be like fast healers of their hosts because they want to keep their hosts alive, and so they'd often heal them and stuff. Which I don't understand why Flash Thompson hasn't regrown legs yet.
Yeah, that's weird. So ultimately, Wizard is now back to being not dying, and the last page shows Cletus Cassidy just in his jail cell, smiling, and that right there is just great because he is the best Carnage, and it's hate to say that you want to have the best of the villains, but come on, it's a good story.
Yeah. So did Cletus get his brain back?
Yes.
It seems that way.
Well,
and then the symbiote's actually in... got captured by Spider-Man, so the two are separate, but it seems like there's still that connection.
What if, when you weren't looking, a little bit of the symbiote touched Doc Ock Spider-Man and took Peter's consciousness out of Doc Ock's brain and transferred it into Cletus?
That could work.
It could work, but not if he was a ghost.
Yeah, I was just going to say, but that would prove it. That proved that he was in mind.
Fuck yeah!
Here is one of the things I thought was cool. So his claw was, you know, talking about how he's dissipating. He doesn't have much energy left. But there's a lightning bolt. There's this thunderstorm. He goes, Shakespeare would be really, like, proud of the ominousness of the lightning booming when Carnage is in full power. And at the very last moment, Spider-Man isn't the one that stops him. It's actually Claw who redirects a lightning bolt straight at the symbiote. And
it says boom.
It says boom. The sonic boom is what, you know, makes the symbiote weak for a while. But what's really nice is that Claw even goes, later on, some people will call it an act of God. Other people will just say that it was just dumb luck. But I'll know what happened. It's like, I protected my friend. I didn't. I was like, I actually like Claw a whole lot now. And I want him to come back.
I'm a little interested in that because Claw, for his... it's kind of dumb as a character as Claw is. Claw made a great villain for Daredevil.
I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next time.
Yeah. Different Claw.
Inspector Gadget?
Yeah. She knew something.
Yeah, I know. This is very
here, you get a beer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's kind of how she got in. She brought the beer.
Drink until you forgot that one thing.
So, kids, save up your pennies. Bring in the beer. You too could be part of the podcast.
we need to like have her as a sponsor more often.
All right,
Matthew, what you got?
All right, so I'm finishing up the big, I guess you'd call it a crossover event, when really it was, you know, it's a big Avengers event. So it was crossover, but it was crossover done in a good way. The Infinity storyline. I'm going to be covering Infinity number 6 and also New Avengers number 12. Yes. So Jonathan Hickman, writer for both. Ton of artists on the Infinity book and pencilers. Jim Chung with Dustin Weaver. And artists for New Avengers, Mike Deodato. And all the other people, great work. But I don't want to bore everyone just naming names. But, you know, when you buy your comics, do look at the cover. See who's working on it. Because if you like it, you can go pick up their other stuff and see the other comics that they're also working on. Just a good little tip there from the pros. All right.
Wait, are we pros?
Yeah.
No, from the website that he got that.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
So, in Infinity, there's a ton of crap happening. But it all kind of started with the incursion points of the worlds being destroyed and the new Avengers trying to deal with that. Well, then the builders of the universe had come to try to destroy the Earth, because if they destroy Earth, then this cascading event of incursions will stop. And then Thanos takes... So the Avengers left Earth to go deal with the builders, and then Thanos came and attacked Earth. Mostly because he was looking for the last of his children that he had sired. So it was a big story, but it was told very well. I think that the art was fantastic throughout. And overall, I'd definitely suggest, if you didn't pick it up, this was a Marvel event that you didn't want to miss. That being said...
Eric, did you pick it up?
I picked up the first issue and I went... Not for me.
That's something you didn't want to miss.
You don't want to miss it.
Apparently.
Yeah, you can read mine. So what was nice about it was actually watching Thanos be badass, because you have the combined might of Thor, Hyperion, Captain America, Captain Marvel, the Hulk, and Thanos and a couple of his lieutenants just take them down. Like, they really do defeat the Avengers. The Avengers don't win the day by just being a little bit tougher and fighting a little bit harder. No, Thanos kicks their ass. It's pretty awesome. It was actually Thanos' son who stops him, and he basically freezes Thanos in amber, they call it. It basically, time has flowed around him. He's just stuck in this giant amber, kind of like an amber beer.
That maybe Matt wants an amber beer. Yeah, is that kind of what you're saying?
Mm. Yeah. Got another beer in front of me. I like how that works. So, Thanos is defeated and captured, but that's not the end of it. There's a whole lot of other things happening with all the other space races, which was really nice to bring all of them in.
Okay, now I might have to read it. In the space race, are they racing the great space coasters?
With space coasters.
I don't even know if they've heard that before. Yeah.
Side note, do you know how many people tweeted at us going, I fucking love the Great Space Coaster?
What's the Great Space Coaster?
We'll talk later. Okay. Or if you go back and listen to some older episodes from a few months back, you'll hear me singing it.
Or if you can time travel to the 50s and watch it.
It was in the 50s, in the 70s, 80s, whatever.
So quickly, so I can finish up this plot exposition. Thanos is now captured and being held in Necropolis in Wakanda, basically the super secret lair of the Illuminati.
That picture reminds me a lot of Han Solo and Carbonite.
Kinda, yeah, a little bit, but it's a little bit bigger block. It's like a cube of amber.
Well, yeah, Thanos is bigger than Han Solo. Yeah,
this
so.
Is true.
Yeah.
All right. So, but the real kind of kicker to this whole story, right, is because whenever you have a crossover event, it's kind of like, oh, we have some finality. We're done. We're going to take a break for a while. Well, in New Avengers, which is truly the epilogue of the whole story arc, they're talking. The Black Panther gets kicked out of Wakanda. Basically, he kind of gets exiled. Because of all the secrets he's been keeping. Wakanda's been at war with Atlantis, but Namor has been in Wakanda in the Necropolis with Black Panther, and his people are like, why aren't you handing him over to us? Why aren't you, giving him up? And he's just like, I can't tell you, because he's part of the Illuminati. He's keeping the secrets that there's worse shit out there than the politics that you guys are worried about right now. But he actually sticks to his guns, and Namor starts, taunting him. And Namor's actually like, no, I'm not taunting you. You're just a king that's lost his kingdom. You have nothing left but this secret, thing. It's kind of a real great way to see how far Black Panther has fallen, and him and Namor, how they hate each other, but they kind of have to work together to save, to be better, bigger men. Dr. Strange decides to use the Blood Bible, which he said he wasn't going to do because that would be really bad. So that's... Basically, this epilogue is foreshadowing all these extra bad things that can happen. Doctor Strange is in the Blood Bible. They talk about how the Inhumans have scattered, and that was actually Black Bolt's plan all along. Even if Thanos didn't attack, he wanted to scatter the Inhumans so that the race could populate more, hence leading into Inhumanity, which we'll talk about later in News and Notes. And then finally, they're talking back to the Black Swan chick, who is not Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis, but this other chick who first came with these incursions. And she just starts naming. She goes, yeah, you stopped the builders, but she kind of laughed at how the builders were only in 5,000 different dimensions and not the infinity of the dimensions. And then she starts going, see, you have the builders, but then what about the map makers or the Sidara Maris, but the masters themselves? But what if it was the Black Priests, or the Sinew Saramum, or the Ivory Kings? What would you have done with them? And she just, names off all these other, super ominous bad guys for the future that could destroy the entire universe and the world. And so, as far as creating a problem, Hickman has given us a direction for these big cosmic events, the big world-destroying events that are actually world-destroying. And they continued it really well. So I think Infinity was a really great story that covered a lot of different areas.
They had way too much shit going on in it.
It did have a lot of going on.
But I feel like they didn't close all those loopholes. And everything. Well,
what didn't get closed?
Well, okay, it shouldn't be closed. It's called Infinity. It should go on forever.
Yeah, it just loops back around.
Yeah.
Okay, the gem.
Oh, yeah, they didn't find the gem?
Oh, yeah,
it wasn't
yeah.
important.
oh, so what didn't they close? And I just come up with some. Oh, but it's not important.
It wasn't
Thanks,
important.
Captain. Not you're, fun.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's true. They didn't go after that time gem, but the Infinity Gems are still out there.
No, they're
or the, sorry, the time gem is still out there.
I think I think Tony just created the worst superhero ever, Captain Not Fun.
He's a villain.
Meet my brother every week, ladies and gentlemen. It's him.
Captain Not Fun.
Where's Captain Krabby Pants?
Great, we have a sympathizer in our midst now.
Yeah.
All right, well, cool.
But yeah, so sorry to kind of ramble on this. It really was, Derek, you should read it.
It was pretty epic. I mean, yeah. You're reading these and you're like, holy shit, like, there's a lot, well, as I said, there's a lot going on, but that, it mainly does explain, for the most part, a lot of it. It still seems like how it's epic.
But it feels like it's not over, though, but, like, that chapter of it is over. And how Hickman always has the little white pages with, like, a chapter title, I feel like this would have been the end of book one.
No, the end?
Yeah.
The question mark. Who the hell put the question mark at the end of that? All right, cool. Tony, should we do some news, or what should we do?
Yeah, we could do some news. We don't got much.
No, not a ton this week, but... The first thing that I've got that I want to bring up is that little moment of silence, I guess, tip of our cap here. Al Plastino passed away here this last week, at the age of 91. Most people will probably know him from either introducing the Legion of Superheroes, Cosmic Boy, Lightning Lad, and Saturn Girl, or the co-creator of Supergirl. So, cheers to Al. Thank you for adding quite a bit to all of our lives, and our best to his friends and family. So, that was the first thing that I wanted to make sure that we touched on.
Something that's been officially put out, so it's not just rumor and us making up bullshit. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver have been officially cast.
Yeah, I did hear about that for. X-Men Days of Future Past, or...
Yes.
No. Avengers 2.
Or Avengers.
Avengers 2, yeah. Okay. Because, yeah, they already had them filming, which in the X-Men one, they're just in there because pretty much the people over, was it Fox that's doing that one, just wanted to say, fuck you guys, and we're going to use them.
They're mutants first. We could use them.
But Elizabeth Olsen is, and Aaron Taylor Johnson.
And Elizabeth Olsen is the Mary Kate and Ashley little sister.
Yes.
Dude, she rocks. Like, honestly, to be that grounded, to be, like, the interviews I've heard her in, the way other people talk about her work ethic for acting and stuff, she is incredibly grounded, hardworking, and not like, hey, look at me, I'm a superstar and stuff. She's like, I just want to do good work as an actor. So I'm really excited about seeing her now.
And Aaron Taylor Johnson, he played Kick-Ass. So if you aren't familiar with him,
yeah, I like that movie. I still Kristen, need to see the second one, but
once again, people at home can't see your head shaking. Yes, so if you'd like to chime in on something that you know about with actors, you're more than welcome.
You know? I'm afraid the pressure of sounding as eloquent as the three of you gentlemen. It's ridiculous.
She has been drinking all day, though.
So. She thinks we're elegant.
And by eloquent, I mean with pit bulls and Santa hats on their pajama pants, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, you're just lucky that Tony's not wearing his Cobra Commander onesie today.
Or his Batman.
I had thought about that. But.
What kind of beer do I have to bring to see that?
I don't know. You're just going to have to keep trying. all right, Marvel's Inhuman, number one, was originally slated to be released in January. It's been moved back to April. So, sorry, Tony.
No explanation as to why?
They're
dicks.
Really. My guess is, and this is strictly guess, because I just saw the headline. I didn't bother reading into it. I'm just like, oh, okay. My guess is that it probably has something to do with being able to put later issues out in a timely fashion so that there's not a huge delay.
Mm.
That's my guess. The other possibility with books being delayed is that they wanted to have them tied up at a different point so that they coincided with maybe movie events or other events in the comics or whatever it may be.
And there's also the great anticipation, right? I mean, if you're jonesing for it, there's nothing better than waiting a few extra months for it and then finally getting it.
There's a little bit of a problem, though. There have been certain books in the past, and the one that I remember most historically was Wetworks number one from Image back in the 90s that I think it took like over a year for it to actually finally be released. There was such a huge hype and buildup for it. By the time it came out, that book didn't sell. So you got to be careful.
Yeah, the longer Marvel leaves something not coming out, the more time they have to spoil it for us. Like, they will tell us the ending of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do like you, and they just put it all over, like, New York Post or whatever. This happens at the end. This person dies.
Yeah, and the book comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
all right, what else was there, Tony? Did you have... Or am I the keeper of news today?
You're keeper of news.
All right, I'm the keeper of news. Warren Ellis is... going to do the new Moon Knight series more as a crime comic rather than your standard superhero. Sure. And
that's kind of where he started from. Was...
Yeah. Well, and I like the fact that it says weird crime, which it's like it's Warren Ellis. It's automatically going to be weird.
Duh.
says the newbie.
Right.
The Warcraft movie. What?
Oh, I was just going to say, I was drinking beer when I was thinking Warren Ellis. W-E-I-R-D. Weird.
Oh, or Warren Ellis. Wee.
Sorry, I'm going to keep drinking. This is a very good Amber Ale.
Warren Ellis?
Oh, God. Okay, the Warcraft movie was rescheduled for its release date. Because otherwise it was going to coincide with episode 7 of Star Wars.
So they jumped it up, right? Or did they delay it?
Let's see here. Yeah, it was moved to December. And I'm quoting this from, comicbook.com, where they say it was only a matter of time after Star Wars episode 7 was moved to December before Warcraft, expected to hit theaters on the same day, was forced to pull up stakes. So they've moved, it says 3 months ahead to March. But that doesn't make sense. That's 3 months...
Later. Yeah, it's okay. Time travel is difficult for some people.
Yeah, but yeah. So, so anyway, that's changing. So if you were anticipating,
I played Warcraft 2. That was a fun game, and I really liked the storyline there for Azeroth. But I'm just curious where that the Warcraft movie is going to take place. Like, is it going to be the beginning of the orcs invasion?
I'm wondering if it's going to be like the Final Fantasy movie where it has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that it has that name in the title.
Yeah. Cuz I could really get behind the early stuff, but I don't know. The later stuff just seems
goblins, humans, elves.
As soon as they
dragons.
Put Kung Fu Panda in as one of their like expansion sets, I was like I don't even want to play this game anymore. Yeah. The Mist of Pandaria. What? It's Kung Fu Panda. You have Jack Black. Stop. I have to stop.
Well, what about the Mr. T orc?
That's fine. No, Mr. T orc is awesome.
But only if he can drive an A-team like
yeah, but
dragon.
Those were specific like I'm a celebrity playing the game to do it. But when your actual expansion is called like Mists of Pandaria and you have a kung fu fighting panda as like the main character to promote it and is on the cover, I can't help but think
it's merchandising.
What right do you have to not call or to call Kung Fu Panda not a celebrity though?
He is.
Like,
I think
hearts are breaking
movie.
All over the place
it's,
right
it's,
now.
Kung Fu Panda is one of the best animated films that I've ever seen.
I don't know. Like I'm starting to feel, and this has nothing to do with this, but I'm starting to think that Kristen's going to be the most loved and hated person on the show ever, as far as a guest host. That's a good thing.
Yeah, we're gonna have to come back.
Yeah,
with more beer. Next time, admission is a keg.
And children, if you're taking notes, the key is mix up your six packs.
Oh, which we'll get to that a little bit later. Image count.
So we were just about ready to say the same thing, but in different terms. You're saying Image Comics. I was going to say Apple sucks.
Yeah, Image Comics
and Apple sucks.
Pork chops and Apple sucks. I love the grimace on Tony's face on half of my jokes. It's like, God damn it, just stop it. Image Comics is now available on Google Play, and that's a great thing for them because now, where Apple seems to ban a good chunk of their comics for no fucking reason, they can go, hey, big flip you the finger, you can get them all over on Google Play. So, good for Image, good for Google Play, you know, and...
And right now, to kind of celebrate them coming over there, they're offering the first issues of, like, popular Walking Dead, Saga, Chew, Invincible, and Super Dinosaur for free to Google Play customers right now. So, free is cool.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of those, I think, were available as, like, the $1 issues that you could buy at the store for a while. But, you know, if you don't even want to necessarily run down the store and try and track them down because I don't even know how many of those are left. It's a great way to like go, oh, let me check this out. And then if you like it, you can buy the trades and get caught up on the trades until the current issues.
Yeah, and if you like Apple, you know, then good for you, I guess. You know, we're not going to change your minds.
I use a lot of Apple products, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I...
They suck when it comes to comics.
Yeah, well, then again, I'm not a digital comic reader. So for me, it doesn't really affect me as much. I like the floppy copy.
But hey, if any of you viewers out there who have the who are using Apple or PC, why don't you just send us some comments on what you like about it at Facebook or Twitter us
or the Twitters
the twits us.
Yeah, the Twitters and the Facebooks. Yeah.
We like twats.
And yeah, I've twatted. Yeah. All right.
Inappropriate.
Whatever. Get out. No. All right, the last thing that I ran across, and Matt, you ran across this as well, is the video of Magneto being the one who actually killed JFK.
Yeah, I think X-Men Days of Future Past are doing a phenomenal job advertising their movie, not with, here's a new trailer, here's new screenshots from our movie and stuff, but they've got like this whole division creating like alternate history.
Viral marketing. Well, I mean, everything from the Trask Industries website to now it is thebentbullet.com. And it talks about how Magneto changed the trajectory
of the bullet. Yeah, because he was on the grassy knoll, so therefore he was responsible for JFK's assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And you click on there, there's some pictures. There's like these little news clippings that tell you about the court case and how it was covered up and everything. And I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm excited. It makes me want to go read that and spend more time on the internets figuring out what this movie's going to be like.
And it's now these recently declassified, you know, reports, which is why you never heard about it before now. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys are just fucking brilliant on how you're marketing this shit.
So, I you know, that movie definitely has some, has put the benchmark pretty high, particularly since they are coming off the First Class movie, which was a nice deviation from the, hey, we have to be all canon and follow exactly how the comic books came together and stuff.
The X-Men movies weren't exactly canon.
Yeah, but they were pretty awful, the first three. The second one was cool, but the first one was all right.
Was and great,
the
third one, except for Storm.
The third one was awful. But X-Men First Class was not just a good X-Men movie. It was just a good movie.
Wolverine was good in them. That's it.
Yeah,
like I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed all of them.
Yeah,
I did. But
you enjoyed the third one.
I'm one of the weird ones.
At the time?
When am I not?
Okay.
Actually, you know, I guess a lot of it was the fact that it didn't really do justice to most anything
at all.
But there were little parts like the fact like when Juggernaut was chasing Kitty Pryde. That, and don't get me wrong, the Juggernaut was terrible, but just the fact that they worked that scene in, similar to where she, you know, it was just, I'm like, okay, cool, they found a way to make that scene happen.
Are you talking about when he said, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch, and all he did was play off of the internet sensation of that movie, the little redubbed clip from the old X-Men cartoon, where he goes, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
I don't think he said bitch on the cartoon, but...
No.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyways, we digress. So if you haven't gone and checked out the bentbullet.com or Trask Industries or gotten excited about the X-Men Days of Future Past, you really should because it looks like it's going to be a fun movie.
Viral marketing at its best.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Did we get to talk about the newest member of Guardians last week? I don't think we did it on the air.
What are you talking like the Ms. Marvel?
No, no, Guardians of the Galaxy. Who's going to be joining their crew?
Angela?
No, that no.
No,
Groot?
It's Bob.
No. Bob, oh. Bob from Hydra? Deadpool? Deadpool's joining another team?
That'd be fucking sweet. All right, well, if we didn't, because I know we talked about it beforehand, but I can't remember past yesterday if we actually talked about it on the air, Venom is joining the Guardians of the Galaxy crew.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't remember if we talked about it.
I don't remember that at all, so.
Well, you weren't here, and you don't listen to the fucking podcast, so you're not.
I listened last week. Well, you guys talked about.
Loyal listeners, if you're hearing me repeat this again, I apologize, but it's one of those things of, really? Like, they're jumping the shark. What the fuck's Venom doing out there?
I can explain this really quickly.
Okay.
Venom is, the symbiote is an alien race of symbiotes who used to conquer entire planets and making all the people, like, passive under the symbiote's controls. Therefore, he is a cosmic, he is a universal, like, force. And if they tie into the fact that the symbiote's memories are what help him be better in space and stuff, that makes no problem at all.
Okay, I don't remember if we talked about this or not, because I know we talked about the Guardians Free Comic Book Day thing where they show Captain Marvel, a.k.a.
Carol Danvers,
being a part of it. And no, because we talked about how there's a silhouette of what everyone knows is fucking Cable. It's kind of like, you know, yeah. It's like, why are you trying to hide that the dude has a cybernetic arm and a giant gun? It's like, you know it's Cable.
That could be Deathlok.
Jim.
or could it be Jim?
Yes. Yeah, he has been missing lately, so who knows where he's been.
Getting off-world. A cybernetic implant.
Just bulking up, apparently.
Well, here's the biggest thing. Exactly what Matt just said that I was going to say, but then he was not fun and cut me off.
He stole
I'm Captain Not
thunder.
Fun.
Yeah.
I was Thor, and I stole your thunder.
Bendis pretty much said, I can sell you this whole plot line in two words. Symbiote home planet. Now, technically, that's three words, but that's going to be badass when they go there.
The great thing is, what our listeners can't see is that there's like this little cutout Thor hammer that Kristen just handed to Matt.
I have the power
of Mjolnir.
Meow, meow.
Yeah. All right. Was there anything else you had there, Tony?
No, I do think that Symbiote Home Planet makes a lot of sense, and I'm looking forward to that.
Shouldn't it be Symbiote Home Planets? Because you could have multiples.
Well, you can only have one home.
One home planet.
But if it's a symbiote,
you can have lots of them. But no, but you change, but you have to like spend a lot of money and then change your capital planet to another one. Haven't you played any of those like space games?
Oh,
like,
you got to buy Bitcoins.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Got it.
Damn you, Bitcoin.
All right. Is that it for news, Tony? I didn't have anything else. All right. Matt, were you going to announce something here? It's getting awkward.
Christmas season.
All right. Let's move on. A little best on tap.
Okay. We can do that.
I got outvoted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so take it away.
Well, best on tap. Our runner-up was a nice cover from Ryan Stegman.
Yeah, the Scarlet Spider.
It's gritty. It looks mean. You got the words on the side of the panel.
It's dirty and nasty, and I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony and I agreed.
We colluded to pick. Oh fuck! Where the fuck's his name? Marius Sergeju's cover of Cataclysm Ultimate X-Men number 1. And the biggest reason why is it's just badass looking.
Tony likes it because it's Galactus. I personally liked it because it's very reminiscent of
H.R. Geiger.
H.R. Geiger, who was the designer of all the aliens from the Alien movies. If you saw Prometheus, the way that it's got this weird alien technology thing, but I don't know. It's really kind of cool. It's his own thing, and this cover is definitely very reminiscent of it, but it's got Galactus's head in the middle.
It is a beautiful style, and actually when I first saw it, I thought it was 80 Granoff that did it. So I was kind of surprised because Tony and I were looking at it in the shop, and he's like, Tony, I got my vote. And he's like, nope, I got mine right here. Matt, you being the asshole that you are, sided with your brother.
And next time I'm going to side with Kristen because she brought me beer.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, that is a gorgeous cover. I can't bitch. I just liked mine a little bit better.
It's okay. We mentioned them both.
Yeah.
Cool.
Tony, you got Indie Turnpike this week.
Yes, I do, and it was a good.
I can't stop. It's all icy on the roads. There is a limit of how many beers Matt should have, and we just found it. Focus.
We're burning.
All right, Tony, what did you pick up?
Black Science. Story by Rick Remender. Art by Matteo Scalera. And painted art by Dean White. I'll talk about the art first. It is very, very good. It's dark, but then it's light. It's colorful.
The painting aspect to it really helps kind of give it that more visceral feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you won't necessarily get with your standard pencil ink and flatting.
It's the shading really that you can do with paints. Well,
not only that, but just the colors that are used for the frogmen or the fish folk, and just how contrasting they are when they're up against each other, or chasing the main character through the swampy area.
I personally like all the lightning.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. Anyway, yeah,
it's dripping.
It's dripping?
Sorry. Good word. For those of you who can't see it right now, it's magenta, and it looks like almost, you can tell it's lightning, but it's almost, you can see the electricity kind of dripping to.
It's like a lightning rain.
Right, yeah. Thank you.
It's like a magenta rain.
Not very eloquent.
I think Prince sang a song about it.
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses.
Magenta rain. Magenta. Yeah. Yeah.
Only seen in November.
This story, like all first stories, they don't necessarily tell you how they got there or what they're doing. But the reason why I love this book so far is it reminds me of Sliders, one of my favorite shows of all time, because they jump through different worlds and different universes trying to find their way back home, like Quantum Leap as well. You already get the sense of they're not at home. The main character here is complaining about how he shouldn't have messed with, you know, science. He shouldn't have dabbled in these things. You don't quite know what he's talking about, but if you've ever read anything of the multiverse or jumping through dimensions, you know that there's something wrong with the control panel. Something's going on. And he needed, for whatever reason, needed to get some water for the coolant for this pillar, which is their travel device. And through it, they're fighting the fish folk, and then they come down, and he falls into a hole down to the frog people, who also can shoot out
electricity out of their face.
And actually, so you picked up one cover. I picked up the other one. My cover I picked up because there's these frogs on it.
I picked mine up because of the fish lady
person. But I'm wondering why he has a frog on his hand with like a whip.
An electric whip coming out of his mouth.
It makes sense in here when you see that he rips off one of the heads and it still's got the electrical charge. And I'm like, that's just kind of freaky cool.
I tell you what, Remender did that was a really, really nice touch, because it's like, I mean, this guy's like defenseless. He's got people coming up and it's a twofold thing.
Oh, when that chick got shot in the face and you're like, oh, whoa, I thought she was going to be a main character because he's talking to her for the first couple pages.
Remender will do that to you. He'll just fuck with you all the time. I mean, that's why I picked this up. I mean, I like Scalera's art a lot, but, like, Remender, I've been a fan of his for a number of years. I don't like everything he's done, but I'd say 80% of the time I've been a fan of his work. And so I got to admit, though, let me ask you, Tony, when you were reading this, were you brought in right from the beginning? Or did it take a while for you?
Took me a couple of pages.
Okay. It took me almost till the end. And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay. And for me, because you guys know how I am with comics, I need to feel some sort of emotional attachment to a character for me to actually really enjoy a book.
It's most people.
Yeah.
For me, it took to the double page of the worlds on the back of the turtles, and I thought that was just kind of different.
I like turtles.
Yeah. Obviously, for Tony, all it takes is a couple shiny turtles.
But then, like I said, then the next page, when he's talking to this chick, and then she just gets blasted in the face, and I'm like, okay, this is going to probably be not, you know, the friendly kid book where they all get out alive.
Well, and I guess this is actually, it kind of makes me realize, though, I think one of the differences for you and me, at least in the books, you are as big or a bigger fan of the world or the worlds that are created than the characters. I'm more about the characters. Yeah. But the more I'm thinking about it, it makes more sense why you like the big galactic type shit, and I like more of the kind of centered down on Earth type shit.
Because
I got street cred.
Street comics.
I'm gonna, you know, go back on that. This character in particular, I relate to. I relate to specifically with this character because I like science. But also, his name is Grant McKay.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
So he related to us.
Yeah, they're the brothers McKay.
And when I was reading that, I went back.
All the listeners at home just did the exact same thing.
Light bulb. Ding.
I'm like, no way. That guy's last name is McKay. Holy fuck. That's awesome.
I knew as soon as you called me and like, hey, do you have something picked up for Indy? Because if not, and I'm like, no, dude, go for it. It's all yours. And I'm like, it's because the dude's name's McKay.
So that makes this book awesome.
High five.
Yes.
Go Team McKay.
Wow.
Wow. You guys have no idea what just happened. There were fingers touching.
It's like the Venture Brothers.
We could do better. Yeah. We could...
Oh, yeah, yeah, well, we won't do that on the air.
Because we're on air, yeah.
And we're cousins.
Okay.
So, listeners...
Why do I feel like we're...
I don't think I
want to
see that anymore.
Hey, where's that inbred chick? Should she come back, please?
Well, and you know, the worst thing is our family's going to listen to this because you're on it. It's great. Hi, Mom.
So, besides the story and everything, pick it up just because it's got my last name in it.
No, I will say by the
not
end
yours,
of it...
Not yours, Matt. Sorry.
By the end of it, I was very intrigued. Because, like, I mean, 2/3 of the way through the book, I'm like going, I don't know if I'm going to keep going with this one. And at the end, I'm like, okay, there's enough intrigue in the story and the plot devices that Remender used. I'm like, all right. I mean, the art alone is worth it. I mean,
yeah. The painting is, you know, I think that's a medium that they don't use it often because obviously it's more expensive and takes longer to get that art out and stuff. But some of my favorite comics, some of the best art that I've seen were painted. So
cool. All right. On to booze in a book.
Yep.
Booze.
What do you got, Derek?
Well, my cousin's is partially involved in this. I don't know how much he's actually going to talk here, but I'll kind of give the little setup here is that it was Saga number 16 from Image Comics, written by Brian K. Vaughan and art by Fiona Staples, paired with an Indecision Ale from Round Barn Brewery, has an alcohol by volume of 5.3%, and it is an amber or a red or a copper?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
And they don't know either. That's the great thing about the Indecision. Is that it started out as one thing and it's kind of gone to something else and now it doesn't really fit into any category.
So it's a curiosity beer.
It's a curiosity beer. Kind of the
same. Very fitting.
Yes. See, and I made, like, she's like, okay, well, I should read something. I'm like, here. So I give her one of the more difficult books
into. Let's throw out my choices, right? So my first choice was the Powderpuff Girls.
Not Powderpuff, Powerpuff.
Or Powerpuff.
Yep. Okay. I also offered you Bedlam.
Which just looks scary and mean.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's serial killer, or Saga, because the other books, you know, it's like I didn't know if she was like. I mean, yeah, maybe Superior Spider-Man. She could have jumped on that, but like
she could have voted. Enough? She could have voted then as to whether or not it's Ghost Peter or Brain Peter.
Well, oh shit! I should have had her read it because she would have been on my side because we're family.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like,
it's amazing
many of the books this week were last issues to a story. I'm like, this isn't a great place for her to just kind of hit up on. So anyway, paired this together also because of the fact that Indecision Ale was a great thing because she bought such a wide variety of beer, as you guys have witnessed, that I think Tony's the only one that's drank the same beer once, or the same beer twice.
Yeah.
Here.
She's my favorite guest so far.
Yeah. So, woo-hoo! Yeah. Indecision Ale. Go try it. It tastes like everything that you want, and Saga has everything that you want. So there you go. All right. What else we got there, Tony?
I don't got much else. Just
last call. Last call. Go for it, Derek.
All right. We did mention Bedlam and Powerpuff Girls that are should be grabbed there. All new X-Men number 19. Letter 44 number 2 came out.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read that one yet.
Well, yeah, because you picked up 1 and 2 at the same time.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite as
good as the first one.
Well, not quite as like holy shit, mind blowing as the first one, but it definitely brought like it's got me hooked farther in.
Okay.
If you haven't read number 1, I would recommend going and getting number 1 because it's on second print. Mm-hmm. And you can grab that. Half Past Danger number 6. The Walking Dead number 117. I'm actually fairly happy. They're doing stuff. 2 issues in a row.
Doing stuff?
Yeah.
In stuff The Walking
is,
Dead?
Stuff is happening. It's not just a whole lot of, you know, just random.
I'm going to get you and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Avengers Arena number 18, final issue. And,
did they all die?
Everyone dies at the end.
Wait, that's the last one?
Yeah.
They're all X'd out.
Everyone dies at the end.
Are they all X-Men now?
I feel like there would be no curiosity picking this up. It'd be like, oh, well, so they're all going to die. Super.
Well, no. Everyone dies at the end. This may or may not be their end.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh,
yeah. Comic book death.
Yeah. Superior Spider-Man number 22. Actually, going back to Avengers Arena, it was pretty smart how they one of the things... Basically, the survivors in there all agreed not to talk about what happened.
Oh.
And so that's kind of a neat little twist. And there's some
Is
more...
Is it the Pretty Little Liars Club, then? Just in a comic book?
Kind
We're
of.
We're not going to tell anybody.
Yeah. No. I know what you did last summer.
Ah, yeah. Much yeah. better.
I went to Lake Michigan.
Zombie War number 2. As I said, it was just going to be a two-parter. I liked how they wrapped it up. They pretty much destroyed Earth, but there's the end of that story for you.
Spoiler alert.
Deadpool Annual was hilarious as far as Deadpool lately has been kind of hit or miss for me, but this is definitely one to pick up, and it's a self-contained story.
I'm glad you're still reading that, because I've been curious. Was that still Dugan and Posehn doing it, or was it different?
This one, no. I know Dugan's doing the main one, but this was Ben Acker and Ben Blacker.
Acker and Blacker?
Yeah.
Wow. So.
Where's the clacker?
Release the cracker.
Hey! You don't have to call me that.
The only other one that I'll also talk about, because you've said a lot of them, is Larfleeze is just awesome, number 5, because he is like the Deadpool of the DC universe, so I love him.
My only other one, Uncanny X-Force.
I have Uncanny Avengers.
That is uncanny.
You can't put them in a can. Yeah. Going back with the comic book dead. So they killed Brian on the Family Guy?
Oh, yeah. We totally forgot about that.
Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Yeah.
They killed Brian on Family Guy.
Yeah, do we have a minute here yet?
We have all the time we want.
Well, yeah. I know we try and keep it around an hour, but, you know, sometimes... I know last week we ran like hour 10. Yeah, but... The booze got to my mouth and then down into my stomach and then killed my brain, and then my mouth just kept going. So they killed Brian on The Family Guy. And I'm curious, before I say anything else, do you guys think he's actually dead, or is he comic book dead?
I think he's coming back.
I don't know. First off, that whole I didn't know it was coming. I didn't know they were planning on killing off someone. And
they
I got
talked
the
about
sense,
it at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, but I didn't think back to that, and this was going to be the episode.
He was in Hall H the whole time, and that panel wasn't there.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew something bad was going to happen when Stewie was destroying his time machine, saying nothing good can come from it, we just need to destroy it so we can't ever go through time, and
I haven't seen the episode yet, but that was the one thing I thought of is, you can bring back, Stewie's got a freaking time machine.
Yeah. Well, okay, now, even before I heard a little bit of other news, I was sitting there going, not dead for real. You know, because if nothing else, in syndication, it won't work. You know, that was kind of my thinking. It's like, how do you go from Brian's alive, Brian's not here, Brian's alive, Brian's not here? The one thing that I thought was funny is that the new dog, Vinny, that they brought in. And there's what? A couple there's a new there's a new dog. They went and got a new dog.
Well, they got a new Brian before. Do you remember new Brian? Well,
I remember new Brian, but Brian. You can't just
hey Brian.
Well, that's just like what? There's no mourning period.
Well, I don't know what time those happen.
Fuck Vinny. That's what I say. I'm on fuck Vinny. Yeah. So there's like Team Edward, Team Jacob. Sorry, that happened. But I know. I'm going to get my face punched 17 times,
it's
FYI.
It's a damn good thing you brought the beer.
I know. But just let's move on. Let's move on. Pretend like it didn't happen. But, like, I'm Team Brian. Fuck Vinny. I don't care.
Me too. Okay. I'm with you. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
So I don't remember who the voice actor is, but it's someone who's fairly well known.
I don't care. Like I'm like belligerent drunk right now. I might leave the room.
Brian would be so proud of you.
Well, so here's the thing. Number one, somewhat of a named actor, being as a guest star on there.
Yeah.
So if you're a guest star, you're probably not going to be sticking around for too long.
I'm never leaving.
Number two, if you've got, if you've got a name, you're probably not going to be going on because you're going to have other shit to go do.
Yeah.
Here's number three. Apparently, there have been, similar to the comic book world, solicitations for upcoming episodes, two or three of which have Brian's name in the title.
Yeah.
You know, like Brian goes to the mall or whatever it is.
Could be flashback episodes.
I was going to say it's part of his contract. He was like, all right, I'm going to do 17 flashback episodes. That's all you're getting from me, bitches.
And now there is the question.
Except that he's voiced by the creator.
Who has also stated many times that he doesn't want to do the show anymore.
Is this a cry for help?
And well, no, honestly, that's the thought of it. He could be dead because the less characters Seth needs to do, the less he's tied into the show, the less he needs to be there doing it.
Yeah,
if all the characters are voiced by him and he's contractually obligated to continue doing the show,
he can end it as soon as he wants. I mean, how many seasons were they signed on for? I kind of get the feeling Family Guy is a year-by-year contract.
No, I think they got it locked down for quite a while.
What does the internet say?
Oh, shit.
Kiku-kuku-kuku-kow? Chick-kaka-paka-tow?
Here's the thing, though, is like, Seth MacFarlane, just keep doing Family Guy, because that seems to be your medium.
Well, but here's the thing, though. You can say you don't want to do it, but yet if you kill Brian, more people are going to watch, and now you're
fucked. Yep, because now you're more popular than ever.
Yeah, and you got more people to talk about it. Yeah, good move. Everybody likes number ones in the death of a character, so, you know.
You can thank, and honestly, everyone, you know who you can thank for loving the death of a character? Fucking Superman.
Yeah, Superman was the death
nice
of Superman.
Nice loop around.
Nice reach around?
Loop it's a reach around cover.
Hey, we're not at one of your family get-togethers.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, so that was our little tirade about Family Guy and comic book.
Yeah, actually, and here's a nice little tie-in. We want to know your thoughts, so tell us on Twitter and on Facebook.
That's where we're at.
And not on MySpace.
No.
You guys are gonna leave everybody just like angry. Like somebody needs to talk about rainbows and sunshine or something. Like,
we leave people angry every week.
Oh.
That's why we tell them to go drink.
Yeah, yeah. So
forget about what you just listened,
and then listen to us again.
Yeah,
because we get paid by the listener.
We get paid by the listener.
Wait,
we get paid?
Yeah. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. You guys have a great week, and we'll be back again next time. Yeah. So, what? Keep going. Derek's like,
keep reading your comics.
I'm like, I'm going to keep reading my comics. I buy them every Wednesday. So
keep reading out there.
Are we done? Or is that the end?
All right. And we've been drunk on comics?
Yeah.
Listeners, stay classy and go fuck yourself.
Damn it, who wrote go fuck yourself on the teleprompter?
I don't wanna move, I just let it all go. But then settle down until the lawn's done. Until it's done. Until it's done. I'll be your backyard all-star.